is caring for yourself through a weekly rhythm of grace. Last Sunday, the title of the message was Caring for Yourself Through a Daily Rhythm of Grace. And last week, we said that if you and I take a part of the day, maybe 15 minutes, a half an hour, whatever it is, and you spend time in God's presence, He will refuel you and recharge you. We live in such a fast-paced society. We're always on the go. We need to have this rhythm where we can recharge and refuel. So that was last week. We need to do something daily. Today we're going to talk about another rhythm. And it's called a weekly rhythm of grace. A weekly rhythm of grace. In your notes, there's a list of the Ten Commandments. I ask you to take your sheet, and we are going to read through them together. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Exodus chapter 20, God downloads these into Moses' life. He writes them on a tablet or tablets, and he takes them down to the people. The Ten Commandments, think of them this way. They are guardrails on the road. And if we stay between the guardrails, we can journey forward without much problem. It's when we violate or go against one of these guardrails that we experience pain in our life. It's a guardrail to keep us to the center, to keep us on track. Today I want to talk about commandment number 4. That's it, just number 4. And it reads like this: remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Okay, I want to read from you the entire text in the NIV as far as verse 8. Here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day, which for the Jewish people, it was Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Today we look at more Sunday. But here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In a book written by Robert Morse, titled Take the Day Off, here's what he says. Commandment number 4 about remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy is the forgotten commandment. The forgotten commandment. Now, 1, 2, and 3 are about us in relation to God, about no other gods before me, no images, and we shouldn't worship other things, and we shouldn't take his name in vain. Commandments 5 through 10 are about how we relate to other people. It's the horizontal. Number 4 not only involves my connection with God, but also my connection with other people. Now, in your notes, It says he calls this the forgotten commandment. So I'm up at the jail on Friday, and I'm using some of these same texts with the inmates. There's four pods, three guys and one lady's pod, and do a service in each. And I ask this question: what do you think it means that it's a forgotten commandment? And one guy spoke up and he said this. He said, "It's inconvenient." Pretty good answer, wasn't it? Another one on the right said this. He says, "We just kind of ignore it." And he was right on the mark, too. It's inconvenient, we ignore it. We just don't follow it. It's a forgotten commandment. We take the other ones pretty seriously. But this number four one, it's kind of like it is forgotten in many different ways. Robert Morris, in his book, Take a Day Off, told his story. He started a church, and it grew very quickly. And he was in ministry, I think, year number five. Things were just taking off, and he never took a day off. He just ran. After all, it was the Lord's work. And he got to the sixth year, and here's what happened to him. His wife was away to a women's conference. He was there at the house by himself. And he opens the sock drawer, and there's no socks there. Now, generally, that's not a big deal. But he was so exhausted and so spent from running so hard. Listen, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. He began to experience a meltdown on the inside, all because the sock drawer was empty. Now, if you and I are in a good place, an empty sock drawer, it is what it is. It's not a big deal. But that was the trigger event for Robert Morse, who was running hard in life. Here's what he did. He went to the church. He talked with one of the leaders. The board decided to give him 6 weeks of paid sabbatical. Go rest. And he did it. He got to the end of the 6 weeks, and he still wasn't feeling right. He asked the board if he could have two additional weeks of just taking his own vacation time, and they granted that. He's into the second week, and he's reading a book. And all of a sudden, he realized he felt okay. He says, "I'm back. I feel like I did when I started the church some 5-6 years ago." He felt great. And then the Spirit of God began to deal with him and speak to him. And basically the nudge was this: Robert, add up how many days you've been resting. So do the math. 6 weeks times 7 is 42. Add to it another couple weeks. And he calculated that this was the 53rd day of rest in a row for him. Now here's what happened. The Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "Robert, those 52 days represent the days you didn't take off in the previous year." When he realized the gravity of it, from that point forward, he began to schedule a day that was different from the other six from that point on. Now, the reason I share that story is there's a principle here, and it's this. If you and I don't regularly take the Sabbath rest, the body will take it for us at some point. So true, huh? Seriously, if we don't tend to it, the body's going to let us know. Because we're just exhausted people. It's going to break down. Things can happen. So Robert Morse, 52 days represented the 52 days of neglected Sabbath the previous year. So I've got a couple slides. Here's the first one. The Sabbath is a neglected gift from God. And we're going to talk about that today. We've forgotten it. We ignore it. We think it's inconvenient. And we just push it aside. So here's the next slide. Remember last week, we talked about distance to empty. And that's when my car showed this little goose egg that I was out of gas. And we live life like that. The daily rhythms of grace and the weekly rhythm of grace is to help deal with that. If you're here this morning and you are close to empty or empty in your tank, chances are you have not given your body the adequate rest that God wants it to have. So God has an antidote for that picture when we are distance to empty, when we're at zero. All right. So in your notes, here's what I want to do. I want to share three thoughts about this Sabbath concept. And let me just say at the very beginning, I'm speaking and preaching this message to myself because I can do a lot better in my own life. I want you to take these principles and I want you to sift through your own life to see where you're at, okay? All right, let's get started. Number one, the Sabbath or Sunday is meant to be a gift to you. It is designed to be a gift given to you. Now in Genesis 2 verse 3, let's read that verse together. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, interesting verse. Why would God need to rest? It's a fair question. I mean, he's God. I don't know if he needed to, but he did. And he modeled it for us that even God in heaven took a day after 6 days of labor to rest. Now, he made the stars. He made the galaxies and he just created all that. He created man. And so he expended energy. And then it says, he took a day after the 6 days and he rested. The next verse, Leviticus 25, 2 and 5. Let's read this together. When you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. The land is to have a year of rest. This is interesting. God even spoke to the leaders and he said this. The soil needs a rest period as well. Plant crops for 6 years. The seventh year, give it a rest. You know why? Nutrients are restored. It's a scientific fact. You give it a break, and it replenishes and restores itself for the following year. So imagine this. God took a day of rest. He modeled it for us. And then he said even the soil, the dirt, needs a day of rest. And then he says to you and me, honor the Sabbath, the day of rest, and keep it holy. It's a gift for us that we need to embrace. On the back side of your sermon listening guide, Mark chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus said this, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Let me explain that. The Sabbath day is for us as a gift. It's not that we are supposed to meet some kind of requirements or obligations. I mean, we got to get our thinking right. It's a gift to us to help us meet our needs, not the other way around. So here's a quote. I'll have Tammy put it up. The Sabbath is a gift to us. Rest well. So the point is this. Understand that God says if you want your life to work correctly, you got to stay on the between the guardrails. One of those guardrails is this thing called remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. All right, let's go to number two. The second point in as we think about a weekly rhythm of grace is this. The purpose of the Sabbath is to refuel or recharge four tanks in your life. I have a friend, his name is Keith, he drives a Tesla. And last week he listened to the message and he kept hearing refuel. So I had to throw in recharge if you're an electric person, all right? So if he's listening, Keith, that's for you. Listen, the deeper purpose of the Sabbath day is for you and me. And it's to refuel or recharge four tanks. Let me list them. They're in your notes. Letter A, a spiritual tank. Now, there's a picture in your notes, and I'll have Tammy put it up as well, of a tanker. In Texas, you know, they have a lot of oil. And so there's a lot of rigs that either transport oil or gas fuel to different places. So I want you to think of your life as a fuel tanker. And here's what you do. Throughout the week, you take care of your own family, whoever you live with, or extended family. If you work, you go to work and you try and add value to every person you meet. And then you have a neighborhood and you have different events at school or church. And all week long, you're giving out. You're a tanker. And you get to the end of the week, and there's a need for you to refuel. Your tank needs to be topped off. It needs to be replenished. And so the psalmist or the Lamentations writer says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Let me paraphrase it. The Lord is the one who replenishes your supply of energy. He's your energy source. And when you take this one day, this Sabbath, he will begin to fill you up where you've been empty from giving out the entire week. Read with me Psalm 81:10 in your notes. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Here's the principle. Listen, if you and I come before God on this day of Sabbath, and we open wide our hearts, we open the hatch, and we say, God, just fill my mouth. And he says, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. If you and I slow down enough, we slow down enough, and we open ourselves to him, he will replenish the spiritual tank that is empty because we've been giving it out all week. Okay, letter B. The physical tank. Dr. Dalton Smith says this, we experience physical rest deficit. I got a question for everybody. Does anybody just kind of live tired sometimes like me? Put your hand up. Oh, we got a few hands. How many here just sleep really good all the time? Anybody? Oh, I see somebody elbowing somebody, huh? Hey, the point is this. We live in a physical rest deficit, do we not? I mean, we're just tired. You know why? Distance to empty is zero. We run hard. We push hard. We're on it. We're always doing something. And God is saying, your life is a tanker. And if you pull aside for this one day, you open wide your mouth, and he will literally restore us physically as well. Letter C, emotional tank. Billy Sunday said this, if you have no joy in your life, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Where's your joy level this morning? Carrie Newhoff says this, you know, when we lose our joy, the function of life keeps going forward. What does that mean? We keep going, right? We go to work. We take care of the home front. The function of life keeps going. But we are like zombies, right? We're out of gas. We're empty. You know how you know if you're emotionally low in your tank in this area? Here it goes. It's called irritability. When I get low emotionally, I get touchy. I get cranky. I get crabby, grouchy. I'm irritable. Chances are the same as for you. You can know if you're low in your tank if the smallest thing has an out of proportion response to it. You blow up at something that you shouldn't blow up on. Your tank is low. If you and I take this day and honor this whole principle of the Sabbath, he will refill your emotional tank. All right, letter D. The last one is the mental tank. There are some 10 billion nerve cells in our brain. It's an amazing organ. And if you think of all the connectors inside the brain that go on all at once, you think of them as telephone connections, there's like a trillion of them. So as you sit here this morning and you're listening to me and you're thinking about lunch and what you're going to do this afternoon, no, you're not doing that, are you? You've got these telephone connections going in your brain. And in the earlier service, Colleen was here, and college student, Allison. And if you go to college and you come home, you know, the last semester when you're cramming at the end, I mean, your brain's on overload. And you just get exhausted. We live life like that. And so mentally, we can become totally exhausted. So the purpose of the Sabbath, the one day out of seven, is to refuel and recharge your four tanks. You know why? You're a tanker. And when you're filled up, you can then go forward to fill other people's during the week. All right, let's go to number three. The third point I want to make about the Sabbath and the weekly rhythm of grace is this. Honoring the Sabbath requires faith. It requires faith. Read with me Hebrews 3:19 in your notes. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The children of Israel could not go into the land of Canaan because of unbelief. They didn't believe God's word that he would provide for them. The same is true for us. If we don't believe what God says about the Sabbath, and we think it's inconvenient, out of date, irrelevant, we will never enter into the rest he has for us. Hebrews 5:19, let's read it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, faith is a big deal when it comes to believing commandment number four in a way that will change our lives to refuel and to recharge us. All right. So I want to share a principle with you. It's in your notes, and it's about tithing and how that relates to this. When you and I tithe, and that's we give 10% to the church, because God says bring the tithe into the storehouse of the church. I do that. I know many of you do that as well. Here's what I found. 90% of my money that remains can go further than if I have the whole 100% without his help. I see Mitch shaking his head. Let me say it again. When I honor God with the 10%, I don't understand it, but I've experienced it. The remaining 90% with his blessing on it goes further than if I had the whole thing myself. There's this principle of his anointing and blessing upon when we obey him. Now, here's the principle. If you and I take one day out of the week, and for some, Sunday's not a good day. It's not a good day for me. I'm going to try and do Mondays. It's just a different day. Some people work on Sundays, nurses and others. And so you kind of have to shift it. But you find a day. If you and I take one day out of the seven, listen, the other 6 days go to a higher level of productivity and fruitfulness. In other words, I can do a better job the other 6 days if I take one day to refuel my tanker. Now, the question is, do I believe that? Do you believe that? I mean, it's a principle of faith. And commandment number four is the forgotten commandment. We've kind of put it on the shelf, and God's saying, wait a minute, I did it. I modeled it. I want the soil to rest every 7 years, and I want my people to do the same thing. So, as we think about the principle of the Sabbath and using faith, Abraham Lincoln said this. He says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening my saw. Isn't that something? If you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, and I'll spend the first 4 sharpening my saw. He was just like preparing for it. You know, many people are Chick-fil-A fans. You know, it's a restaurant I enjoy them too, but the owner in the very beginning, the guy who opened it, made a decision that he'd be closed on Sunday. And here's why. I was reading about this. He had worked 7 days straight in the food industry for a period of time. And he said, you know, I'm not going to have my employees or myself work that seventh day. And so he decided he'd be open 6 days. That's one of the few places that are. But did you know that KFC Chicken has over twice as many restaurants than Arby's? They have over 4,000 in America. Chick-fil-A has over 2,000. But here's what it is interesting. When he made that decision, over time, a Chick-fil-A restaurant, per store, per restaurant, brings in 4 times more in money than KFC does in a given year. 4 times more. And it's interesting that they have twice as many restaurants, but there's something about the blessing of God upon him in the 6 days that they work. Well, three thoughts. Let me just summarize it. The Sabbath is meant to be a gift. We got to look at it that way. Number two, the purpose of the Sabbath is to refuel or recharge 4 tanks in our life: spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. Number three, it really does take faith that if I take that one day, it'll make the other 6 days better if I honor God with it. Here's a picture I'll have Tammy put up. It says rest here. We have to somehow learn this rest factor, this sense of I'm going to believe God for this, and one day out of 7 make it different than all the other 6. Here's my closing slide. So what do we do on the Sabbath? I want to just give you some bullet points. I can't prescribe rules and what you should and shouldn't do, but let me give you some principles. Number one, don't work. It's a different day than the other 6. Now, if you're like me, I like to do catch-up when I have my day off. I want to do the things I didn't get done on the other 6 days. I mean, I've got to change some things in my own life. But the principle is make the 7th day a different day than the other 6. And somehow God will bless that. Okay, secondly, unplug. What's that mean? We're talking about electronics. I've got a phone, maybe you've got a phone. We do social media, we're always on the move. And did you know that phones can be addictive? Let me explain the science behind it. When you get a ding on your phone, and you say, oh, I wonder who that's from, and you respond to it, it's a good message, or hey, that's neat, there's a chemical reaction in your brain, and you say, oh, this is cool, and it dings again, and you want to keep going back to it. Seriously, there can be this issue of, I just need my phone. But in reality, do we? Do we? And so when you think about unplugging, it's social media across the board. Live differently on day 7. Just be different, whatever that means. But try and unplug from the gadgetry that we live life on the other 6 days. Try and minimize it or set it aside for a period of time. Okay, number three, honor God with it. I mean, you're in church on Sunday, that's awesome. You're worshiping him, and whatever you do, try and honor him. I think that's the purpose of the Sabbath. And number four, Robert Moore says what refuels his tank is when he's with his kids and grandkids. It's just family time. Or you may want to take a hike and go to nature. You go do something different. You do something you enjoy. You relax. It's different than the other six. That's the key thing. The Sabbath was made to somehow refuel us and to enjoy it. You know why? We'll become a better person on the other six. Robert Moore said this. When he figured out that he needed to do this, even as a busy pastor, you know what happened? His family told him he was happier, he was more fun to be around, he was cheerful, he was healthier on the other 6 days. You and I can be a better version of ourselves if we take time to refuel. Enjoy that day in a new way. Set aside the regular work stuff that we normally do the other 6 days. Do something different. Let God refuel your tanks. It's called a weekly rhythm of grace, the forgotten commandment. But if you and I do that, let me tell you, we will be blessed, and the distance to empty the goose egg shouldn't pop up in the dashboard of our life. It just won't be there, because we'll be in a better place as we live life going forward. This was a different kind of message, and I'm speaking to myself as well. I said that earlier. But I do ask you this. Take the principles in this message and filter your own life. Where are you at in looking at the Sabbath as a gift and refueling your own tank on a regular basis? You honor God because you put faith in His word, and you will be a better version of yourself to the world because you do life on a full tank going forward. Let's pray. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes, and those listening online, and ask yourself the question, how are you doing caring for yourself through a weekly rhythm of grace? Just answer that honestly before God. Heavenly Father, I confess crashing into that guardrail in my own life. And I ask you to help me do better. I pray for the people here and those listening online that we'll take the principles from your word about commandment number 4, to honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Help us to take that and apply it to our lives. I pray for the person here today who's running on empty. And the reason is, we are on the treadmill of life and we are running too hard, too fast, too quickly. Forgive us, Lord. We repent. We turn from it. And I pray that you'll help us all as individuals and a church family to build into our lives obedience to the guardrail, that we will view the Sabbath day, Sunday, or whatever day of the week it is for us, as a day to refuel ourselves, to spend time in your presence. And Lord, I pray that you'll help every person here today make a decision to do better, to change things, to honor you, and to become a better version of ourselves that will be kinder and gentler and more loving during the week, because we are willing to take one day out of the week and make it different from all the others for the sake of honoring you and being a blessing to the people around us. Father, we just pray you'll come and love us into health and wholeness. Come and just challenge us, inspire us to make decisions that will somehow position our lives in a different place, a better place. that you can fill us and refuel us and recharge us. And Lord, for this, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.